This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Covering topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley, a lot of conversations and different things to consider. State Representative Virgil Osborne back in. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So I guess, first of all, take a look at the legislative races in Oregon and the election overall. What were your thoughts?
Well, I was a little surprised. I know I was actually out of town during the elections, but you know, I didn't want to go to sleep that night because the last time we did this and Trump was we thought he had won the election and woke up the next day and he had lost by 300,000 votes. So watched that all night and was very happy that we are, you know, it looks like we won the House and the Senate and the presidency. But also monitoring what was going on with the local elections the entire time too. I think Douglas County stayed pretty red. We pretty well reelected most of our leaders, but I was really hoping. We really thought we had some pickup seats that we were going to pick up at the House and get maybe even, you know, our numbers were at 25 and we were hoping to get to 27 and best case we would get to 30 or maybe even 31. The polling said those seats were in striking distance, and unfortunately, we lost those races. And then just recently here, a couple of days ago, we were notified that District 22, Tracy Kramer's race for the House, which we thought we won, turns out they found a bunch of ballots. So the ballots ended up putting her, she was down by, first she went down by four, she was up by 100 and change, and then she went down by four. And I believe today is the last day of counting, and she's still down by 120 votes or something like that. So we are pretty much motivating all of our folks up there that can help to get out. There's some ballots were declined because they weren't signed right, or there was a reason why they were rejected. So they have to go cure all of those ballots, and that has to all happen by next Wednesday. So hopefully we can, of the 700 or so ballots left out there, we can hopefully pick up that seat.
Now, if that runs the course it appears to be on right now, though, that means the GOP will be in the super minority in both chambers, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, the walkout created a situation with the Senate that, you know, we had a lot of open seats, and they came back with one seat down. I shouldn't blame that all on the walkout, because I think a lot of that was gerrymandering when they redistrict, and they almost guaranteed Bend would now be a Democrat seat as opposed to what had been, a plus four or six Republican seat. So we lost that in the Senate, and now we are going to, if we don't get Tracy back, we will end up with 24 in the House, which means we're going to be in the super minority again.
And I am told that is not a fun place to be.
No, it's not. And part of the reason I ran for Republican whip was because if I'm going to have to fight, I want to have some ability to fight, and I'll come out scrapping. I always do.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We got that word about a day and a half ago that you've been selected as the GOP whip. But I've got to say, not everybody follows politics so closely that they know exactly what that means. So what is a whip? What's the application for what you'll be doing to help in that chamber?
So, you know, I've had several people ask me that question actually this week, and it's kind of fun to define. I actually went online and looked up the definition of whip, but the reality of it is, in the Republican caucus, you'll have a leader, and then you have a deputy leader, and then you have the whip. And the whip is really, in some ways, the most powerful position in the caucus, because the job of the whip is to oversee the team, right? We're like the guardian of the team. We're the person that goes around, speaks to each of the Republican members, and, you know, makes sure that when we're voting on something that's, you know, a very important vote, that everybody's pulling together as a team. So you're kind of like the team captain. The other side of that is when you're on the House floor and, you know, you're getting into a tough situation on a tough vote, you know, you'll have a lot of testimony on the floor by the members. The whip is the person that kind of oversees what's happening amongst our party. And if we get in a situation where we want to call the majority party to the floor and say, hey, you guys are overstepping boundaries, or somebody's offended, or you're doing something that we don't agree with, then you press that little that little button on your desk. It's called I forget what the name of it is. Anyway, it's got some nomenclature attached to it, and you are able to interrupt the speaker, and they have to listen to what you have to say. So it's a very powerful position, and again, it's like being the team captain.
Interesting. I wonder if we could get a button like that for offices.
It's called a privilege button now that I say that. Yeah, probably can.
Okay. I didn't realize that was part of it. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, that does really put you in a position to also really develop relationships with everybody in your party in that chamber.
It does, and it also puts you in a situation where you can develop a relationship with the speaker as well, because, you know, as much as sometimes politics seems like a circus, it's really not a circus when it comes right down to the professionality of what goes on the House floor. So you have to be able to control what's going on the House floor. The speaker's job is to do that, and the whip's job in both parties is to kind of make sure that control stays level, the playing field stays level, and that we do the right things. And, I'm so happy to be the one to be chosen to do that.
Now, how did that work? Did you apply or ask to be nominated? What's the process there?
Yeah, so it's a very interesting, we have very set guidelines in the House on how you can be elected to be, a leader or the whip amongst each party. And it is, you're nominated by your party, and then your party basically holds elections. And I was running against a longtime legislator that's also in the party. Great guy. There are no bad folks in our legislature, but he's probably been a legislator for at least 10 years, and he has been our whip in the past. But I think our party kind of is looking for some new direction, some new leadership, and they ended up, majority chose me to do that position.
So as you look at the session with all that in mind, first of all, obviously this means as a whip, you've got a lot more work.
Yeah, I think so, behind the scenes. So basically, when you're the whip, you're in the room with the leader when things are being discussed. You know, before we go to the House floor, especially on really major bills, there's always discussion behind the scenes that happens between both parties, and also happens with the speaker as well, and sometimes with the governor, depending on how intense the bill might be. And being the whip, you get to be in the room. You get to be part of that discussion. You get to be part of that direction. So it's a good thing. I have a lot to learn. I mean, I'm a second year. I said this will be my second term in office. So I don't know everything, but I have a lot of really good folks backing me up. And our previous whip is actually going to mentor me as far as, any laws and stuff like that I need to know as well.
So as you look at, for you as a lawmaker from Douglas County, what are your priorities for the upcoming session?
Well, that changed when Tracy Kramer's seat became in jeopardy. I mean, I think we were all hoping that as a House we could pull together and we could make some things happen. And I'll just be honest with you. The number one thing that I want to do is stop bad bills. We are going to have a ton of bad bills coming our way because we don't have the ability to stop them. And the only real option you have is a walkout. And walkout creates a whole other issue and a whole other list of problems. It may sound good in the short term, but long term, if the House walks out, we end up losing 4 seats probably if we do that because we have swing district seats and we never get those back. So the priority for me is no new taxes. I want to, we were able to defeat Measure 118 here. We don't want new taxes. We want to hold the line on taxes. I know that the Democrats already have at least 3 really bad gun bills coming down the line. I haven't seen them yet, but I've heard rumors about what's going to happen. We need to block. We need to protect our Second Amendment. We need to protect our First Amendment. And that's my priorities. That's my top priorities in the House. And then, of course, I have a list of bills that I'm pushing for this district as well. Also, some top-of-line things is like wildfire mitigation. Myself and Senator Rocksmith have been working on that for quite some time. And that for this district, that's super important. And hopefully we can pass some bills on that as well.
Now, it may be early, but are you aware in particular of much of the Democratic agenda, or is that still being evolved?
Well, again, it's like the two warring sides, right? So they don't really tell us much. I'm actually vice chair on a Commerce and Consumer Protection now, so I am getting a trickling in of bills that are starting to come that will go through my committee. So to answer the question broadly, no, we're not aware of most of their agenda, just the bits and pieces. And they are aware that because of the election, they have the ability to do some things that they wouldn't have been able to do prior, and that is mostly taxes. So that's really our big deal.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Virgil Osborne, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. We're going to talk about Mercy Foundation and the Festival of Trees. Lisa Platt, Executive Director of the Mercy Foundation on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. State Representative Virgil Osborne with us now. We've been talking about the legislative agenda of both sides, looking ahead to the main session next year. What about the governor? Any weigh-in so far about what she might be wanting to emphasize or pursue in particular?
Yeah, actually, great question and funny of you to ask because I literally just got an email from the governor here a little while ago. So her agenda is to hold the line. I think her, along with many of the blue state governors, have really tried to analyze what happened on November 5th when Trump won that election. And so I think her position right now, and from the email I got, encouraging people to, and I think it was mostly directed toward her party, but it was encouraging legislators to pretty much hold the line where we're at and don't give in any, basically don't give in on anything. I think that's what we're going to see. Now, I also feel like, and this is just my personal opinion from what I've seen of her in the past and also the Democrat Party, they're going to double down on everything. So, you know, this year, in 24, we were able to undo Measure 110, and we got that changed to the point where we made drugs illegal again. It was a crime. I would not be surprised to see the Democrats come back and try to soften that. And, you know, in some ways, I kind of hope they do, because that might be the reason why they lose seats. But I think we're going to see them try to hold the line where they're at, and then they're going to add to the tax base. I mean, frankly, they need more money, and they're going to ask for more money, and they're going to do it by increasing cat tax. They're going to try to do start tolling our highway, our I-5. I mean, there's a whole lot of bad that I hate to see coming.
Now, I saw some of the press releases this morning, but didn't get a chance to investigate it. You talk about income. What about the revenue forecast? That was out today.
Yeah, I just looked at that before I came in. again, I think it's a hold the line. One thing I noticed in the revenue forecast, and I didn't bring it in with me to read, but there was a line there that they had said the corporate tax, the cat tax, had brought in slightly less in this biennium than it had in the biennium before. Which I find that concerning for a number of reasons, because when you see the corporate tax bringing in less, that means there's less corporations. That means businesses are gone away. That means we've either they've had to do something to get around paying the taxes, or they've just died, or they've left the state. So I see some of that to me, it's a marker of where we're headed. What I read was that unemployment was about the same. It was to remain pretty much unchanged, and some of the stuff is pretty much where they're at. But there's always that possibility of inflation increasing, even though they're thinking it's going to decrease. So we've got some challenges.
What about when you talk about the business aspects of things? You've talked before about Oregon not being a particularly business-friendly state in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so in the revenue forecast, one of the things they've seen is increase in jobs in the service industry. And that's, you know, your nurses and your teachers and there's other things that fit that agenda. What you don't see in Oregon is increase in business and manufacturing. You don't see increase in those types of businesses. And I think that is not a good way service industry is great, but you need those other businesses to support, like, for instance, the timber industry supports several things underneath it. I mean, you have saw shops, you have log trucks that need tires, you have, heavy equipment that needs mechanics. I mean, all of those industries are all down. The service industries are up. We need to increase that part of our economy so that we can remain, you know, long-term in good condition.
As you look at the budget that will be considered by lawmakers next year, are there particular areas of state government you'd like to see that you immediately identify as where you think there should be less funding?
I mean, you know, a lot of the funds go to Health and Human Services. I don't feel like those funds are spent appropriately. I would like to see those funds be held accountable for how that money is spent. That would be huge for our budget. A lot of that also goes into education too, and we are amongst the lowest in the country on the levels of education that we're supplying. So, I mean, I don't want to see that budget go down, but I want to see the money I want to see those things be held accountable for where the money's going.
What about areas in state government that might need more funding?
Well, I think we're going to need to do some more funding. Honestly, business growth is where we should be doing our funding. We need to be supporting small business because that is the backbone of our economy. Now, however we can do that, and that looks different in a lot of different ways as to where the money goes. Sometimes that money goes into counties that promote small businesses. Sometimes that money needs to go into cities that they can add infrastructure to add small business. But I think we're also going to have to spend a bunch of money on housing. We're very short on housing. We're way under our inventory where we need to be. So that there's that.
Well, and the housing aspect kind of ties in with the job growth as well. When companies consider going to an area and sometimes look around and don't feel like there's adequate housing for the number of people they might be bringing with them.
Well, I think that happens a lot, especially in the rural counties. It happens in Douglas County, I'm sure. I mean, you think about what it would take to bring a large business here. You have to have, not only do you have to have housing, and we see this in our medical, industry as well, where you have doctors that they look at this, they want to come into Roseburg and live here. And it's like, well, what do they have for their families? I mean, they have kids, they want to put them in schools, they want to have services, they want to have stores, it's just not here. And I think all of that needs attention given to it.
Now, does that mean any changes in land use development for the state?
Oregon has the strictest land use development laws probably in the country, and absolutely they need to be changed. We are doing things that are so counterproductive, and it's all based on environmental issues. I mean, it really is. I mean, you have wetlands issues, wetland mitigation issues. I mean, you can't hardly build. There's very little land left in Roseburg that doesn't have wetlands on it. And when you have those wetlands, it restricts what you can do with it. And sometimes that wetlands is just a ditch that runs through your property and goes over to the neighbor's house. The neighbor's already built a driveway over the top of it, but you can't do anything about it because it goes through your yard too. So yes, we definitely need to lighten up on some of that.
Coming up, you have legislative days. I don't remember when those are scheduled, but remind folks how that kind of sets the scene for the next session.
So yeah, we just had some legislative days as well, and then we have another round coming up in December, mid-December. I will actually be in Colorado in a legislative training school, which is really, I've heard it's a really good one. So legislative days shape what we do for the session. I mean, basically what happens is the lobbyists and the folks that are pushing for bills and different agencies will come in and they will talk to us about what they want to push. And then eventually, if it's something they can get to somebody to carry the bill, we will end up discussing it and potentially voting on it.
And what about the legislation you're working on specifically?
Yeah, I brought a list. I have 10 solid bills, and I don't go through all of the list with you, but we have all of my bills are mostly just directed right toward our district. I mean, there's some really important things that some folks have asked me to carry a bill on different things. And again, I don't have time to go into all 10 of them with you, but we can talk about that.
What are some of the highlights, though?
So I have a search and rescue bill that is sheriff's departments have asked me to basically go for. And it's a pretty neat bill. It actually brings in some of these professional search and rescue teams into it makes them report to the families what they're actually doing, being a little more transparent. I have some internet bills, actually, one that makes it illegal for AI to do to mess with kids, basically. So if you have a kid's body and you decide you're going to put another face on it and then put it on the internet and do some kind of porn stuff with it, it makes it illegal. It gives the opportunity for us to go after you legally and arrest you for doing stupid things. I've also got a bill that's running that's going to ban the ability for countries to buy property in Oregon that are on our terror watch list. So First Amendment rights and so to speak with that. So we're still working through some of that, but a lot of that kind of stuff.
And what's ahead between now and the session for you?
Well, I'm actually headed to D.C. to Trump's inauguration. I figured that was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so I got the tickets to go, so I'll get to probably meet with President Trump for a little bit, which is, I'm pretty excited about that. We have legislative days. I have some legislative training that I'm going to be going through. And then right now, our local Republican Party has kind of reorganized itself. So I'm working with our Republican leaders to make sure that we get off on the right foot. So a lot of that kind of work going on.
All right. State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.